Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the Tesla Model 3 performance specs could have leaked. GM introduces their vehicle to home hardware, and a Porsche Taycan goes for a swim and survives. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you what the boss of Xiaomi just said about how well, or not, their first EV has gone down with customers. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, it's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. For the last working day of the week, Friday 19th of April, I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We go live at 5 p.m. UK, midday Eastern. Patreon supporters get these shows as soon as they're ready and ad-free. If that sounds good to you, you can be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with some news of another company launching their vehicle-to-home hardware. General Motors is releasing bi-directional charging technology that allows energy transfer from your EV back to your home. This is typically termed vehicle-to-home rather than vehicle-to-grid, which requires an extra degree of integration. This technology will debut with the Silverado EV RST First Edition. The GM Energy V2H bundle is $7,000. $299, includes a power shift charger and a home enablement kit, and some variable installation costs as well. Initially, the V2H technology will be available in 5 states, including California, Florida, Michigan, New York, and Texas, starting today. The 19.2 kilowatt level 2 chargers in the kits can transfer power from the vehicle back to your residence. Now, the typical use case that I see described is during power cuts and power outages. What's it like where you live? I live in the middle of a town in the south of England. I can't remember the last power cut we ever had. I guess if you live somewhere perhaps more remote, if maybe you have a need to worry about power cuts, then possibly that's a use case, but I don't get power cuts here at all. I tell you what, getting energy from a vehicle is much more useful if you think about it in terms of being able to power your home when the grid electricity is otherwise more expensive. Now, that does, of course, mean that you're provider would have to have some dynamic pricing. Mine does. We pay more during the day. And we have a home battery as well. So if I can move energy around from the solar panels on a sunny day, charging the home battery and charging the car, and on a cloudy day, perhaps coming out of the car, even from the car to the battery to the home, kind of piggybacking along, that would be okay. But that would be a much more useful use case for me, for instance. Well, like I say, 19.2 kilowatt level 2 chargers. GM plans to expand the offering with different bundles tailored to different customer needs. The first bundle is $1,700 for the vehicle-to-home kit, the power shift charger. So the actual charger itself, $1,700, and then the V2H enablement extra box is $5,600. Installation by Qmerit, who will provide some customized quotes based on your own requirements and specifics. Now, the first vehicle to do this will be the Silverado EV. That has its 200 kilowatt hour battery in some specs, delivering 10.2 kilowatts of power out of that. They say you could supply a typical home for up to 21 days of an outage. And that is the idea of capturing people's imaginations with vehicle to home. I think that does work with, you know, sort of power cuts, power outages, natural disasters. We don't really have extremes of weather here, so that doesn't really work for us. Maybe it does where you are listening or watching around the world. Now, every one of the Ultium vehicles will be factory equipped with bi-directional charging capability. GM's e-commerce platform, GM Energy, which facilitates connections to the equipment and connects you with preferred installers. By 2026, or the model year 2026, GM will incorporate this bidirectionality across all of their Ultium vehicles. Future models coming with vehicle 2H will be the GMC Sierra EV, to begin with the Denali Edition 1, the Chevy Blazer and Equinox EVs, the Lyriq, and the upcoming Escalade IQ as well. One of the early names in DC fast charging, been around since 2001, and one of Australia's hopefully proudest exports as well, the Brisbane-based company Tritium. I've been using Tritium hardware forever. I generally find it very good as well. And in some countries, they had a market share of 30% plus, certainly more in some countries, like 75% in their home market of Australia in the early days. Well, unfortunately, Tritium, the Australian charging company, has declared insolvency and called in the administrators. The company and three of its subsidiaries in Australia are insolvent or expected to be soon. Previously, they had large parts of the market and were much celebrated. An IPO, initial public offering, on the NASDAQ in 2022. Valued this business at $2 billion. Last year, they had a shift and decided to shut down their Brisbane manufacturing operations, relocate permanently to Tennessee in the US, where it currently employs 500 staff. There is no doubt going to be one huge post-mortem on this to work out how the business has ended up in this state from being worth $2 billion only 2 years ago. They've sold over 13,000 DC fast chargers in 40 different countries, so my mind immediately goes to supporting that hardware and supporting the staff at that business, where the administrators will clearly look to have it as a going concern if they can sell the business and, you think, stabilise the assets within the business. But again, as an EV enthusiast, not as anyone who works in the industry, of course, myself, but as a pure enthusiast, my mind turns to all of that hardware that's out there that is going to need support for many years to come and for the EV drivers that use that hardware. So I think that's going to be a key part of how this business goes forward if it is sold on as a going concern. Whilst some companies have had different levels of success persuading their existing customer base to go EV, the South Koreans are on a bit of a rip right now. Let's check out Kia. And, yep, no change. Last month in March 2024, their global sales of EVs continued to surge, recording 19,061 units sold in the month of March. That's an 80% increase on the same month in the previous year. EVs are now 7% of Kia's total business, up from 4.7% this time last year. They have three models out based on the EGMP architecture. I sometimes say EGMP platform, but of course that would be platform, because that's what the P stands for in EGMP. So EV5, EV6, EV9 plans to launch EV3 and EV4 soon. Also, of course, they have the Niro EV, the Seoul EV, and in South Korea, the Bingo, which makes me think of Bluey because I have two young children, and the Ray EV. So well done to everyone at Kia, enjoying more EV sales success, whilst others might be throwing their hands in the air and saying, well, our customers don't want EVs and maybe we should do hybrids. The South Koreans continue to knock it out of the park. All right, headline story today then, and has the source code of a website once again spoiled the reveal party with another EV? This time, Tesla Model 3 performance upgrade. Are we going to call it ludicrous? Well, the website doesn't call it ludicrous, and yet the cars we've seen already out and about have the ludicrous badge on the back. So let's try and dig into this, you and I, and work out the details. This comes via Tesla's UK website. The Tesla UK website source code has potentially revealed the specs for the Tesla Model 3 performance. The new model, described as the most powerful Model 3 ever, over 500 horsepower with high performance drive units and specific details about the 0-60 time acceleration. There's a placeholder in there for that. So let's get into where we found this story then. So this is TeslaMotorsClub.com. This is one of the posts. If I go back to Wednesday, someone posted online some text from the UK website, supposedly from the UK website. So that is an interesting data point. It's from somebody who has posted many times. By the look of it, they're in Colorado, and they have a history of posting. That's by no means evidence of their accuracy, but I'll quickly read through what they have said, and there's a reason why I'm doing this, because I genuinely think there's something in this. The Tesla Model 3 performance has all new adaptive damping powered by in-house software. Latest generation driving mode has adaptive suspension controls. Track mode V3, all new calibration for the powertrain and adaptive suspension. All new seat design with side and cushion bolsters. Bespoke chassis and suspension hardware, forged performance wheels, which are more lightweight, and enhanced pedal feel and improved heat management. So, obviously, this is a post on a forum. We're going to go check things out ourselves, aren't we? All right, let's do that. So I went to the Tesla UK website at tesla.com/, and I think it's EN_GB, and had a look for that, and fair enough. It's all absolutely there in the source code. So it's in the Model 3 order page. So if you go to not just learn more about, but go to the actual order page of the Model 3, and then on my Mac, I had to enable developer mode to view the source code in Safari, and it's all there. So I'll show my YouTube viewers what I'm seeing on the UK website, and I'll describe it for my audio listeners of the podcast as well. On the order page, it's very most definitely not a performance model you can spec. There's the rear-wheel drive and the long-range all-wheel drive for either £40,000 or £50,000, which is the price we pay. And then if you look at the source code of the page, I just did a Control-F search for the word adaptive, because why would there be the word adaptive on the Model 3 page source code? Because it doesn't have adaptive suspension. And fair enough, there are 6 references in the source code to the word adaptive. Now, as I am not an HTML expert, or whatever this is written in, I took the source code of this page and gave it to my good friend ChatGPT and said, please strip out the code here and leave me with the content. And that's exactly what it did. So this is what, again, for my viewers on YouTube and X, and I'll describe it for my audio listeners, it's given a reasonably good sort of strip out of the HTML. It's each different page looks like the Tesla website call it cards, which I thought was interesting. You can swipe through the cards and, learn about autopilot and all these things and the screens and the premium sound system. Each one of those that you swipe through on the Tesla website is called a card. Card 18 is entitled Driving Euphoria, which I thought was interesting. The Driving Euphoria card, which, again, is not visible publicly, but is in the source code of the website. And this says, all new high-performance drive units deliver more than a combined 500 horsepower and 0 to 60 miles an hour in parentheses acceleration seconds. Welcome to the most powerful model ever. And the image is Model 3_ and then a JPEG for the drive units. I guess if you wanted to go to the, either the CDN or the assets bit of Tesla's website, if you were so inclined to start doing some sleuthing on the actual URL, you might even find that JPEG of the new Model 3 performance drive units. There's also, for the next page, says exclusive to Model 3 performance, the redesigned front and rear fascias, rear diffuser, and carbon fiber spoiler give a unique look and work together to optimize with a Z, not an S. This is the US typing this, high-speed stability, adaptive suspension card, all-new adaptive damping powered by in-house software gives you enhanced body control without sacrificing daily usability or comfort. Driver-focused card, that's one that we've seen on the existing website as well already, but this says the latest generation driving mode integrates adaptive suspension controls with a performance-optimized powertrain to deliver more response and fun behind the wheel. Track mode V3. What is track mode V3? Featuring all new calibration for the powertrain and adaptive suspension to give you more authority behind the wheel. Plus, you can customize with a Z, not an S, handling balance, stability controls, and regen braking to set the car up how you like it. There's also pages and cards, I should say, for the sports seats, performance chassis, performance wheels as well, and the high performance brakes, carbon fiber decor as well. So look, that could all be a massive red herring. This could just be Tesla putting this in the code thinking, well, we know somebody somewhere in the world will find it, leak, in inverted commas, leak it, and we'll all have a good old chuckle before the weekend at you idiots on YouTube talking about it. Or maybe this is the real deal. I wonder. Look, it all sounds very exciting. There's nothing in here about top speed, 0 to 60, but things like new track modes and adaptive suspension coming to the Model 3 performance is interesting, and a lack of the word ludicrous anywhere on that page at the moment doesn't mean it won't be called that. I thought it was very interesting. I'm pleased that I could find that that data myself, first person, rather than relying on posts on social media. What do you think? Is it about time they revealed the car now? Is this all leading us up the garden path? Are we days away from finding out about the Model 3 performance? Clearly, this text was written either by the US team or it was written for the US website because of the way it was written with the American stylizing in there. So now we'll wait and see. But if you find it interesting, I'd love to know what you think in the comments. You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. Is there something in this, do you think? Now let's talk about one of Tesla's new competitors in China, and that is the tech company, you might know it better as a mobile phone company, Xiaomi. And the Xiaomi CEO, Lei Jun, reporting yesterday that sales of their first EV, it's called the SU7, it's very much a Tesla competitor, has been 3 to 5 times higher than he expected. The SU7, which has design elements, which some people say is reminiscent of a Porsche, in places, yes. Inside profile, perhaps, yes. Launched recently and has been introduced into the very highly competitive Chinese EV market with an equivalent price of $30,000. Hard to do the conversion, but that's the base price, which effectively undercuts the Model 3 standard range, whatever it's called at the minute, in China by $4,000. And of course, it's a domestic name, which over the last few months and more recently, we've seen some evidence of the shine wearing off Western brands. Tesla's still obviously a very aspirational brand in China, but lots of even, you know, incentives from workplaces and things like that to only use Chinese names. And that includes driving Chinese cars. Xiaomi acknowledging that they will incur losses on every SU7 built to begin with, despite the challenging nature of China's EV market. There's intense price competition. Analysts believe that Xiaomi's substantial financial resources and expertise in smartphone manufacturing provides them with the competitive advantage needed, especially when it comes to people's connected lives, smart dashboard technology, and some of those features which are highly valued by Chinese customers. Next up, we'll talk about a story that I've mentioned a few times recently, which is Chinese EVs coming to the USA and people saying, well, it won't happen. The tariffs are too big. No one's going to buy these cars. And I keep saying, well, they're going to come in through Mexico. And so I'm not surprised at all to see the news today that Mexico is withdrawing incentives for Chinese EV companies. Under US pressure, Mexico's government is declining to provide incentives, things like low-cost public land or tax reductions to Chinese makers. This report coming from Automotive News yesterday morning. A recent discussion in January, according to this report, between Mexican officials and, in this case, BYD, marked the last meeting where it was made clear that there will be no incentives extended. Mexican officials deciding to suspend future discussions with Chinese car makers. A spokesperson for the White House said that the President Joe Biden in this election year is concerned about Chinese EVs potentially undermining national security by saturating the market. Currently, 20 Chinese car brands or so are operating in Mexico. None of them, though, have established a significant manufacturing facility, though, within Mexico. The policy change is largely attributed to American concerns that the Chinese car makers will use Mexico as some sort of gateway or backdoor to bypass the 27.5% US tariffs by making the cars there and selling them into the US without facing these tariffs. Well, these US fears are driven by concerns from its car makers, labor unions, and even political figures as well. Despite these challenges, companies like BYD are expressing their intentions to establish a presence in Mexico. BYD said it's very much still on the cards. They want to focus on serving the Mexican market, they say. BYD have no intentions to export their cars to the US, is what they say. Well, I remain skeptical. I am merely an enthusiast of the EV industry, but I remain skeptical of those claims. The idea of giving up entirely on the US market from these Chinese companies, I don't think is one that is believable. If they can establish a manufacturing presence in Mexico, tick all the right boxes in terms of where the parts are coming from batteries to everything else, and sell those vehicles into the rest of the North American market, I see that as almost certainly happening. But they say, for now, no plans. Of course, there are incentives for car makers. If you look at the state, not you know, national level, but state level, Nuevo León approved their $153 million incentive package for Tesla last December. But whether that Tesla facility goes ahead, either for production of the so-called Model 2, $25,000 vehicle, or robo-taxis, or whether they'll be made in Texas, or whether the Mexico facility ever gets off the ground amidst a slowdown? Well, we'll wait and see. Now, like it or not, but saving money by driving an EV is one of the parts of going EV that many people particularly enjoy, whether it's also for the better performance, the better driving dynamics, whether it's charging your car at home on solar, if you have such a thing, whether it's just the ease of use, the peace and quiet driving them, or whether it's to save some money. That was definitely part of our decision to go EV all those years ago, because we couldn't believe what we can charge it at home on cheap rate overnight, and it's costing pennies per mile to drive. All right, we'll do that then. The US Department of Energy has today launched a new tool allowing drivers to estimate what your fuel savings will be when you move electric or plug-in hybrid. Pop your zip code in or state, along with specifics like the vehicle, model year, and things like the vehicle you're coming from, like the fuel efficiency and the driving distance you do. And this tool can forecast up to $2,200 a year savings driving an electric vehicle, or $1,500 for plug-in hybrids. Developed by the Argonne National Laboratory, the tool confirms savings for EV drivers across virtually all US zip codes, with nearly universal savings for plug-in hybrids as well. Pop that on screen right now for my YouTube viewers, so you can add those details in and see where savings are significant for you. So that will obviously be if you have high gasoline prices or low electricity costs, or you drive longer distances, because those savings all start to stack. The largest saving of $2,200, in case you were interested, is attributed to places like South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, West Virginia, as well, with amounts ranging from $1,300 up to the full amount. Again, it's because of what electricity costs and gas costs as well. They use a well-to-wheels approach for this emissions analysis, and it shows that EV drivers could reduce their carbon dioxide emissions by approximately £1 per mile driven. That's a 75% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions compared to traditional vehicles. Now, the full report, including details on insights into local factors affecting your savings and emissions, is now available on the Energy Department's website. Meanwhile, at state level, there's loads going on. I'll pick one example from Colorado. Their vehicle exchange program is lowering the cost for low-income individuals to go EV. This program provides instant rebates of $6,000 for new EVs and $4,000 for used EVs to those who exchange their old gas guzzler or diesel vehicle. To be eligible, you must earn no more than 80% of the area's median income, and the traded-in vehicles must be operational, at least 12 years old, or have failed a Colorado emissions test. Since the beginning of this program last summer, they've given out 450 rebates. And of course, that means 450 high-polluting, high-emission, aging vehicles off Colorado's roads are replaced with clean, green, electric alternatives. Love stuff like this. Now, there's a common problem we've reported on many times over the years on this podcast being picked up by the Bloomberg UK website today, and that is all to do with the repairability and the parts availability of electric vehicles. Well, here in the UK, the lack of mechanics is also an issue. Those mechanics trained to repair high-voltage EV systems is causing an increase in repair costs. Insurance companies and repair services such as the AA, the Automobile Association, reporting that even a minor damage, especially to the battery or its housing, results in the total loss of the vehicle. Insurance company AXA noting that the complexity of damages to EVs can raise insurance premiums. Only about 10% of the UK's auto mechanics are certified to handle anything to do with EVs, according to the Institute of the Motor Industry. And many mechanics can handle basic tasks on EVs, but anything near the high voltage stuff requires particularly specialised training. Thatcham Research indicating that drivers are worried about the higher likelihood their EV would be written off after just a small accident. Now, additional factors stifling EV adoption includes in higher insurance prices. Insurance companies are still trying to wrap their head around prolonged wait times for part replacement and a scarcity of the mechanics to replace these vehicles. It is actually a real thing. I've noticed my insurance premiums going up, and we still own the MG ZS EV. It's a really good family car for us. Two little kiddos. Don't always want to put them in the Polestar. We must get rid of that car and replace it with something probably smaller. Actually have big car, small car driveway. But that insurance premium is about twice as what we pay on the Polestar. So if you're going to buy an MG, if you'd like to buy my MG, by the way, please do an insurance check first. It might be fine for you, or it might be prohibitively expensive. Again, when we replaced our car in January, We went shopping for a Model 3 long range. Insurance on that, twice the price of the Polestar. And I just couldn't get it any cheaper than 1,100 quid. And so it was a real thing. It wasn't a deal breaker for us. We happened to find the right car at the right price. And so we went with that. But it was... You start to think, actually, if we have this car for a couple of years, that's only £1,000 difference we're going to start paying just in insurance. Now, I probably should do a special podcast soon looking at why things like some of the Chinese cars, like, say, RMG, very expensive to insure. Is that parts availability? Is that to do with repairability? Why some cars are cheaper and why some cars, particularly Tesla owners, are seeing some big increases in their premiums, and really dig into the reason that's happening here. Maybe it's happening where you are listening or watching around the world. I'd love to know. If you're watching the video version of this and you're not yet subscribed to the audio version and you are a podcast listener already, I'd really appreciate it if you added us to your feeds. It means that you've always got your dose of EV News Daily wherever you are. If you can't get in front of the YouTube version, you can always listen to the audio version. If you want to go to either Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever you use, whatever app is on your device, just search EV News Daily. You can do it now while you're watching in the background. Hit subscribe, free subscription, obviously, and it means that you'll have a choice. You can either watch it online, you can listen to the audio version if you want to, and if you get a chance to use the Apple ecosystem, the reviews on iTunes, what we call it now, Apple Podcasts, really help others see what you think of this podcast. Let's talk Cadillac Optiq in China, debuting some interior photos. The Cadillac Optiq was showcased online prior to its full public unveiling soon at the Beijing Auto Show in China. The interior design borrows elements from other vehicles like the much larger Cadillac Lyriq, with a similar steering wheel and curved digital display cluster. These images coming out thanks to the system in China that publishes some on the official websites and government websites and things like that. So we get to see inside the Optiq, a much smaller vehicle for China than the Lyriq. The central dashboard has the horizontal screens, the sort of split between the driver's display and the central display angled towards the driver, ambient lighting with illuminated horizontal lines on the door panels as well. The area below the dashboard is, like I say, it's kind of a concave structure that wraps around the driver a little bit more, with some physical HVAC controls as well. Yeah, this looks nice. It's a nice mix of screens, big screens, and buttons as well. We can see the button, the physical button, closest to the steering wheel. It does say on-off, and I'm hoping that is air conditioning or HVAC on-off, not car on-off. Come on. EVs don't need on-off switches anymore. That's pretty much 10 years ago, isn't it? Come on, car makers. The Optiq has USB-C ports located near the storage cubby down below, while the infotainment and cup holder layout mirrors the Lyriq. The Optiq has a thinner armrest and a redesigned section between the seats. The vehicle is built on the BEV3 or the BEV3 platform, like the Chevrolet Equinox EV and the Buick Electra models as well. And finally, I thought we'd go into the weekend with hopefully a bit of a smile on your face. And this was a Porsche Taycan recently observed navigating through floodwaters in Dubai. If you haven't seen that news, by the way, awful flooding in the Middle East with freak storms. The vehicle looks like it floated until it reached an area where its wheels could touch the ground. And then, impressively, it drove off. And no water piling out the doors. We'll take a quick look online right now for my YouTube viewers, and I'll describe it for the rest of the viewers. Now, I'm really sorry I don't have the original source for this. It was reposted by somebody who, I looked at their profile, is this sort of a serial stealer of content, and I know it's exactly what I'm doing right now, which is just stealing other people's content and putting it online, but there's no attribution to the source. I'm so sorry. This is a Porsche Taycan in the Dubai floods. We think this is real, and it floats and it floats and it floats with the wheels spinning until it just gets a little bit of traction as the flood waters either subside, or I think it's driving up a ramp by the look of it. And so after bobbing around like a boat for a while, it eventually gets traction and then it speeds off into the distance. Now, I mean, I imagine the inside of that vehicle is going to pretty much be full of water. I don't know what the seals on the Taycan are like. But indeed, if you'd like to go swimming sometime this weekend, I don't recommend you take your Porsche Taycan. But should you be caught in floodwaters and you start floating away, it's good to know that in this particular example, it bobbed around for a bit, it found some traction, and off it drove. No problems. You try doing that in a combustion car, you'll be sinking and getting wet very quickly. Not recommended. Don't try this at home. That's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And thanks to everyone on the Patreon Legends list. I got some new names to add to that list, actually, over the weekend and give you a shout on the podcast early next week. Might be around over the weekend. If not, see you Monday. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village and Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments, all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good and see you probably next week, if not over the weekend. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.